Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, June 16th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the co-founder of Polygon, one of the hosts of The Besties, and now the author of the Book of Fun, Rush Frustick. Hello, Russ. How are you?
Hi, Greg. This is all great. Thank you for having me, but I'm just going to play this for a little bit while...
God damn it. If you're an audio listener, he's holding
Greg,
up a Steam Deck.
Suck.
What I don't like is that, Russ, I feel like for years, Kinda Funny and Greg Miller have had many a hilarious bit. Many a hilarious bit that has been just great. But they're usually enjoyed by small segments. You know what I mean? Like, if I wouldn't expect you to come on and know podcasts beyond lore or something like that. But somehow, the Steam Deck trolling, thanks to one Paris Lily from the Kinda Funny X-Cast, has infiltrated every aspect of my life. Where Ron Funchy shows up on a podcast and makes fun of me. People are coming up to me at Summer Game Fest making fun of me about it. I don't like it one bit.
You know, it's extremely funny, first of all. And secondly, props to Valve for the egalitarian nature of this whole thing. Because, like, most companies would probably just send you one.
And... Well, see, what I give props to Valve is that, of course, I'm Greg Miller, and I've been doing this for 15 years. And through every one of those years, I've talked nothing but shit about PC gaming. And so the fact that I finally want something PC related, they're like,
this
no, we're not, you're not, no.
What Chicken's coming your, home to roost.
Your audience doesn't care about a Steam Deck. Pre-order and wait for it. And I am, but I'll tell you this, Valve. I'll tell you this. Yeah, wait, I got 14 days until June is over. My window says April to June. I know I'm only supposed to check Mondays and Thursdays, but I check the email every day.
I was a Q2 as well, for what it's worth. So we were in the same boat, but I guess I a couple minutes before you on the pre-order clicking.
And I hate it because I remember it. I remember being at the kitchen table with Jen at lunch being like, should I do it? Should I not do it? And she's like, no, you should do it. And I was like, all right, thanks, honey. This will be a sweet memory for us to remember forever. And here we are, Kevin, June 16th. Not a Steam Deck in sight over here.
It's not coming, Greg. Just walk away.
And honestly, I would respect it. If all of a sudden it just never happened and I just slipped to Q3 and I slipped to Q4 and I just keep on slipping. And even when they're just available everywhere, for some reason I can't buy it. I would respect that from Valve. But Russ, what I can buy is I can go to kindoffunny.com/Russ, R-U-S-S, and buy the Book of Fun. Russ, what is this book?
It is a sort of a history book, fully illustrated, 128 pages of individual stories about the origins of various fun, dope shit from throughout the years. So... you know, video game anecdotes of like various things. I have a great GoldenEye anecdote in here where Shigeru Miyamoto desperately wanted James Bond to visit all the Russian soldiers in the hospital that he had shot throughout the game to prove that Nintendo is not a violent company.
What was the reaction to Miyamoto saying that?
Apparently it was received, but eventually just cut from the game for time.
Sure.
But I've got to be honest, I wish it was in there.
Shooting them probably.
But yeah, the book is filled with kind of fun little anecdotes like that. As well as talking about the origins of various festivals. Icelandic Christmas is awesome. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No.
But children are afraid of getting eaten and stolen on Icelandic Christmas. So that's a concern. And so we kind of pulled out a lot of dark, twisted stories for this book of historical fun.
Fantastic. Well, how long did you work on it? Because it just came out this week. Of course, again, kindoffunny.com/Russ if you want to go get the Book of Fun. That'll take you to Amazon, but you can get it wherever you want to get it. How long did you
work on it? Thank you. Yeah, so we launched a podcast called The History of Fun for Polygon back in 2016 or so, 2017. And the book kind of came out of that. I started earnestly working on the book in 2018. To give you an idea of how long books take to come out, went through some turbulence with the pandemic, found a new publisher, and yeah, finally out. So
look at you, accomplished author.
What can I say? Author at the very least. I don't know about it.
We'll see how it goes, man. we'll get you charted somewhere and then accomplished author. We'll be right there for it. Russ, beyond that, of course, you, of course, made your reputation in video games. But if people don't know you, how do you describe yourself? What's the pitch for Russ?
Oh my God, I don't know. The pitch for Russ is like internally. I don't know. You might know me because I do the Besties podcast with Justin McElroy, Chris Plant, and Griffin McElroy. I've been doing that for ages. As you mentioned, I co-founded Polygon, which is a website about video games that some of your listeners and viewers might know. And yeah, I've just been doing this for probably, when did you start, Greg?
2007.
Okay, so a little bit before Greg started, to give you an idea of how long it got.
You dinosaur, you old man, get out of the way of the new generation.
I remember my first E3, I saw Half-Life 2 there, to give you a sort of
a
time frame idea.
Yeah, that is a long time.
So it's been a while, but you know, it's a fun gig.
It was, for me, at Summer Game Fest this past week, I went out to breakfast with Blessing, and we didn't invite him because we don't like him, and went out to, and we were talking about sites, and we were talking about, you know, how everything changes, but it's kind of the Matrix where things keep going, and so you'll see stuff, you know, people break off and form this thing, and like we were talking about, obviously, everything's happening right now with like G4, and then, you know, the million other organizations that have popped up and started, and I mentioned, it's like, well, you know, when like Polygon started. And Bless was like, when did that start? And I was like, oh, well, I was at IGN. So like, I don't know, you know, 2008-ish, 9-ish, somewhere in there, whatever. And he was just like, I would never have thought, like, he's like, that's just, Polygon's always been a thing. And I'm like, I'm so old. God, I remember when it was such a big deal that you all went and started Polygon. And like,
and it's now, 2012. It's we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary in October, to give you an idea. So it's really not, I mean, it's not as old as 2008. But yeah, it does seem kind of ubiquitous at this point. I think part of it, there just aren't many mainstream video game like websites left.
Sure.
Like obviously it's all moved to streaming, YouTube, podcasts, stuff like that. But you know, it's tough to run a business covering just games. You know, we do entertainment now. So we've bridged the gap.
Of course. I mean, you have to change and evolve, right? I mean, that was
we do.
A big part of making it happen and then learning the business part of being a business. And speaking of being a business, why don't we get you to your show, ladies and gentlemen? We're going to talk about the fact that Sonic will never kiss another human, probably. Halo Infinite has made quite the air, and PlayStation might be making its own Elite controller. We'll talk about all this and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news need know about. If you like that, be part of the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can ensure this business keeps going. Of course, you can write it to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, there are a variety of free ways to support us. Of course, on Epic Game Store or Fortnite, or wherever you're playing an Epic game kind of thing with the Epic Game Store in the background, you can use the creator code Kinda Funny. Then anything you purchase, whether it be V-Bucks or something else, kicks a few bucks to Kinda Funny. It doesn't cost you anything. Beyond that, you could be watching live as we record the show on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you're watching live. It's free. You're having a good time. Hopefully, if you have Amazon Prime, you're using that Prime gaming subscription on us. But you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Of course they have to listen to ads, of course they can't write in, but they still have a good show to listen to. You shut up, don't worry about it. Housekeeping. We're re-watching all the Thor movies for Love and Thunder, so right now you can get the kickoff with Thor's MCU in review re-review. That is up on podcast services around the globe and youtube.com/kindoffunny. Of course, today is going to be Final Fantasy VII's 25th anniversary celebration broadcast at 3 p.m. Pacific time. We will be live reacting on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, and you can catch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. But Russ, this leads to our first question. It comes from Jake Bakes Cakes. Good morning, Greg and Russ. So excited to see two of my favorites together on a podcast. That's you and me, Russ. People have been asking for this for a long time, and it's cool, too, to work with you because we've never done it before. But I digress. Mm-hmm. Back to you.
Love it.
Today is the Final Fantasy VII 25th anniversary showcase. There are now rumors of a Crisis Core remake being revealed. From least likely to most likely, please rank the likelihood of each game being announced. Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Remake, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1 on Xbox, or absolutely nothing. Thank you both for being bright spots in the industry. Full Besties cross Kinda Funny crossover when? Well, whenever you guys want to, we'd be down for that. We should definitely.
Yeah, that would be dope. Definitely would like to.
We should work on that.
Wow, that was a lot. That was a big question.
And I think it's easier to boil it down, Russ, and just say, are you expecting good things from this showcase today?
I think they've got to at least hint at part two of Final Fantasy VII Remake, right? That seems like a low bar.
Yes, I'm right there with you. I think that is the most likely thing. I think that's what you've got to do. You have to come, because like that's just been hanging answer lists for how long? You know what I mean? You put out something part one and then never talk about part two. That's a problem.
Beyond that, I have no idea what Crisis Core is. I know it's a game that I've heard, but I am not a JRPG guy. Definitely not a Final Fantasy guy. I played Remake. It was great, but most JRPGs are not for me. So do you know what that is?
I remember Crisis Core being a whole thing, and I remember when I played Final Fantasy VII and loved Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy VII.
And then Tim was like, well, Crisis Core comes in here, and that's where the story's going. And I'm like, all right, whatever. There's some guy named Zach.
I don't know any of this stuff.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, I think you start to dream too big, right? They've talked about this, right? It's a short presentation. It's only about to be 10 minutes, they say, which, I mean, we've watched presentations before, right? Especially for an anniversary, you figure 10 minutes is really going to boil down to more like 8 minutes of like actual things going on. And if, because it's going to start and be like, well, thank you for coming. It's been 25 years. We love it. Yada, yada, yada. I'm sure they're going to do something with Final Fantasy VII in terms of discounts or re-release or whatever. We're just talking about it and the success of it. And then they have to get to something. And I would feel like you get
just
to remake
show
part
a
two
picture
pretty quick.
Of Kate Sith, and I think, you know, people are happy. Like, that's all you need, right?
That's all they want. That's all they want, right? Exactly. So, yeah, like, Final Fantasy, like, Crisis Core getting a remake? I don't know, man. I don't know about that. I think maybe you announce it, but then you show something from Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. And, yeah, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1 on Xbox, that's one of those things that I still can't believe hasn't happened. That is
surprising. Yeah. I don't know what their exclusivity time frame is, but it seems like it's got to be out done by now.
And you'd hope so, yeah. So that would, I mean, if you have part one and you talk about that, hey, everybody remember it's been 25 years since you fell in love with these pixely characters. Here's the announcement of Xbox. Here's the announcement of Remake Part 2. That's a pretty good show. And then, yeah, Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Russ and I aren't the guys for that. And no, let's see if Tim's online. Hold on. Tim, come to KFGD, and he's gonna say I'm busy on a call probably or whatever, or tell me likelihood of Crisis Core. He'll understand.
Everyone needs this person. For us, I guess it's Griffin is the one that cares the most about this stuff, but it's definitely not me.
No, definitely not us. But I can tell you who cares about us. Our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire, Fargo, Brady. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get your name read on each and every show. Today, we're brought to you by Shopify and Athletic Greens, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, ladies and gentlemen, Sonic the Hedgehog will probably never kiss a woman again. This is Ryan Dinsdale over at IGN. Sonic the Hedgehog won't be kissing any more humans if Sega veteran Takashi Iizuka has his way. And I think it's Iizuka, right? Iizuka has worked on the franchise since 1994, Sonic the Hedgehog 3, and told Axios what the two critical rules for a project featuring the blue blur are, alongside an additional unofficial one regarding the infamous smooching scene from 2006, Sonic the Hedgehog. In the game, the very human Princess Elise III used the Chaos Emeralds to save Sonic's life and kissed the anamorphic hedgehog as she did. Though he didn't work on that particular entry, he said, quote, I don't think we'll be doing that again, end quote. Kevin, I have it here if you want to. If you are not familiar, ladies and gentlemen, with Sonic kissing a human being, here's a play. Of course, this is from Sonic Games HD. They edited a bit at the end, but you get the gist of it. So let it play here, Kev. You see, there you go. Sonic's down. She's going to use these Chaos Emeralds. She's going to lean here for a very sensual kiss, and there you go. And this is going to bring Sonic back to life. But again, this is where the edit takes over. People are not a fan of this, as you know.
They sort of use that lens flare to hide all the good stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, part of anything is, of course, you know, sure, a naked person is cool, but you use the lingerie for your imagination. You know what I mean? You
sure,
use the nice underwear I wear for your imagination.
We don't know exactly what Sonic's lips are doing when he kisses a human person.
Exactly.
So, and now we'll never know.
Showing those little teeth, remember when he had the human teeth.
It is worth noting the quote you had is, I don't think we'll be doing that again, which definitely leaves it open. Not to mention, like, that could happen in the movies. I'm not saying I want it to happen. I'm just saying we shouldn't rule out the possibility.
Russ, I'll let you know right now from the top of the show, this is the judgment-free zone. Like, if you want it to happen, just let your
guys, he's like 12 years old in the movies. That's wrong. All right, come on.
Okay, you say that, but what's the lifespan of a hedgehog? Right, I mean, we sit here and talk about dog years all the time. Dog years. So 12 years, he's probably like 47 already. If not, wait, actually, how long does a hedgehog live? How long does
I had a hedgehog growing up as a pet.
Me too.
And it was
because it's not a problem. Right?
Yeah. Man, lasted about really... 4 years. Yeah, name.
Oh my god! Yeah, woodland hedgehogs are 2 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So right now,
he's a space hedgehog. Come on.
I'll say this right now, and it probably won't win me any fans, you know, in the Rust Belt, all right? But if you have a hedgehog in real life right now that lives to be 12, that thing should be allowed to kiss humans. Like, that's just how
totally.
It should be, you know?
It has earned it.
Yeah, exactly. It's taken its lumps. It's done its thing. And, like, to your point, Russ, yeah, you know, I don't think we'll ever do that again. He can't be sure because he knows eventually he'll retire. Somebody else comes in and takes the reins on Sonic, and who knows what they'll do with him then and where they go. And you might think that, man, this is a silly story, but remember, the internet and the world's pretty split on this. Kevin, if you want to click on my scientific poll I added today, with the sample size of 1.2 million, I put out a poll and I said, should Sonic the Hedgehog kiss humans? 54.2% said no. 45.8% said yes.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
This is one of those things that it might not be your bag, but it's other people's bags.
I'm telling you, in this divided culture we live in,
yep.
This is maybe what's most dividing us.
And it's one of the things, maybe it could be the thing that brings us together. Because again, like, was it done well in 2006? No, probably not. But if we can watch the bee movie, you know what I mean? If we can watch the bee movie and watch this bee fall in love with a human and a human fall in love with a bee, why can't we? You're telling me Sonic Frontiers can't have some kind of cool universe, pocket universe he pops into with a Chaos Emerald and he falls in love?
Certainly the scale makes way more sense for Sonic the Hedgehog than it did the bee.
Thank you. I agree with that, too. I reached out to Sonic superfan Blessing Adeoye Jr., and he said, quote, thank God, let the internet take care of making Sonic kiss things he's not supposed to, end quote. And again, that seems pretty close-minded to me, Russ.
I agree.
Tim Geddes, you've joined the call. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Greg. Thank you for having me.
The top story here is how Sonic will probably never kiss a woman again. How do you feel about this?
You know, conflicted, if I'm being honest.
Thank you.
Jokes aside, Sonic 06, not my favorite Sonic game, not by a long shot. And I think that him kissing the woman, not the reason that game is bad, but I don't think it is one of the highlights of the game either. So I don't think that is going to enhance any future Sonic title.
It is swing, though. You got to give it that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were trying to do something there.
Mm-hmm. It was unexpected, and it was at the end of the game. I think they just didn't expect anyone to see it.
My thing, Kevin, if you want to play the clip again with no audio here from Sonic Gaming HD, Tim, when I watch it, and me and Russ were commenting on this too, this is a fan edit, obviously, right? Because again, a lot of you squares can't get over a human being kissing a space hedgehog. And so, Tim, there's like this explosion that then, like, you know, wipes out everybody. It's clearly an edit.
Oh, I'm familiar. Yeah.
So, were the lips covered in the real game, or is that part of the edit here? Because I Googled this scene and all I could find were people doing funny edits to it. This is one of the more less egregious. Right there. Right, that thing right there. Is that how this
is? Is that an edit?
I'm asking. I don't think it is, Russ, but I'm not sure.
I don't think it's an edit either.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, Russ.
Yeah, Russ, this is him. I do like that Knuckles is in the back chilling and watching the whole thing take place.
I mean, they were out of ideas. We've all been there. Your friend's KO'd. You can't wake him up. Maybe this princess kissing him.
I mean, I think the more important thing is, was this consensual, you know?
Well, this is a Sleeping Beauty kind of situation. You know what I mean?
And maybe a conversation needs to be had about that, too.
Kevin, this is a product of his age, 2006. People weren't thinking that. Like, if you want to go into it, like, they think Sonic's dead right there. So now are we going to yell at her for necrophilia? No, we don't know. This is a last-ditch effort.
It was an Ash Pikachu situation. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
Has Ash kissed Pikachu?
Well, Pikachu. Ash died, and then Pikachu cried on him. So that's, I guess, the closest comparison we got.
And I
similar
cried.
To when, infamously in high school, I cried watching Extreme Ghostbusters when Eduardo went into the containment unit with Slimer. Slimer got possessed. He bit into the oxygen tank. He thought he killed Eduardo. They came out. I forget. He didn't. His tear. Slimer's tears didn't wake up Eduardo. I need to go watch the episode now as an adult.
Do you ever not cry during any Ghostbusters thing?
I mean, in recent years, no. I mean, Afterlife. Come on. You know what I mean? I still. Yeah, it was great.
You see them.
Yeah.
You look over. They're all there. Yeah. It's like, oh, look at the team's back.
Yeah, that was a great one. God, what a movie. You know what I mean? That's the thing. I people are all talking Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard, and nobody's ever, he's in Stranger Things. I'm like, he's in Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? Let's call a spade a spade here. This is how it's going to be. Anyways, I digress. Tim, I didn't actually bring you in originally for the Sonic kissing story, but I'm glad you did. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what I'm going to have you do is talk to Jake Bakes Cakes.
Okay.
Who said, good morning, Greg and Russ. I'm so excited to see two of my that's still about me and Russ because we're so great. Today is the Final Fantasy VII 25th Anniversary Showcase. There are now rumors of a Crisis Core remake being revealed. From least likely to most likely, please rank the likelihood of each game being announced. Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Remake. Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1 on Xbox or absolutely nothing. Tim, it's 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes, around 10 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Russ and I were very much like, Part 2's got to be announced today. You have to have something there. Remake Part 1 seems like likely on Xbox, but nobody understands. I don't understand why that still hasn't happened and what the exclusivity is. But then Russ was like, I don't know what Crisis Core is. And I was like, I vaguely remember Tim talking about it at the end of Final Fantasy VII Remake because somebody did it. Russ was like, isn't there a Zach in it? And I was like, that sounds about right.
Fair. Exactly. So I think you guys are right in the zone with all of this. I think that it is almost a slam dunk that we're going to get Final Fantasy VII Part 1 on Xbox. Long overdue. I think that a remake Part 2, like, it's definitely not a sure thing. We're talking about Square. Anything can happen. And it being an anniversary event, we've learned in the games industry over time, anniversary events more than not don't mean shit and aren't actually going to give us the big reveal that we hope or expect them to. Having said that, it's about that time, man. I feel like it has to happen sometime soon to announce it so that we can get it in 5 years or whatever it is, hopefully sooner than that. But I got a good feeling. I think we're going to get Remake Part 2 today, which is exciting. This Crisis Core rumor.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, you know me. I get extremely hyped about a lot of things, and I get tunnel vision on it. I'm like, this needs to happen. I'm so excited. This is probably the first time ever I'm like, I'm just not going to allow myself to believe this because that is a dream project for me. I love Crisis Core on the PSP, it being a prequel to Final Fantasy VII. If they were to remake that and make it more of a prequel to Final Fantasy VII Remake, delving into Aeris and Zack's kind of relationship before Aeris ends up meeting Cloud way, way later, oh my God, it could be so damn good. That game is so hype. It's so fantastic, but it's aged as hell. And more than anything, it is locked to hell on the PSP. Like, it is very nigh impossible to play that game in modern times. So,
PlayStation Plus Essential.
I don't think it's on there.
Maybe. No. To be clear, it is not on there. And I'm talking about premium, but like, yeah, you know, I'm joking, but they could put it there. They could do it.
Yeah. I don't think it'll ever be there. Cause yeah, it's one of those things that never shows up on the storefronts or whatever, unfortunately. Sure. But yeah, a remake would be super awesome. I think we're also going to get a bunch of random little things like there's Ever Crisis, like the mobile games, there's that soldier game. We're going to get other stuff that aren't like the most exciting things. Maybe a tour, an orchestra anniversary tour announcement, which is exciting to me. But anyways, I really freaking hope we get Crisis Core and I really hope we get Remake Part 2. And I hope that Part 1 comes to Xbox because I love that game and I want more people to play it.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you for your time and your appreciation of Sonic kissing people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Number 2 on the Roper Report. Halo Infinite publishes and immediately fixes offensive Juneteenth cosmetic name. This is Brendan Lowry over at Windows Central. Halo Infinite developer 343 Industries is currently facing significant backlash from the Halo community after a color palette for a nameplate called Bonobo was added to the game on June 14th. The nameplate is themed after Juneteenth, a U.S. holiday celebrating enslaved Black people's emancipation. When you consider that associating Black people with primates is a common form of racist and discriminatory rhetoric, it should be abundantly clear why this is a problem. After many Halo community members took to social media to bring attention to the issue, 343 Industries quickly updated the title of the palette to Freedom to address the problem. At the time of writing, the palette still bears this label, the Freedom label. 343 Industries senior community manager Josh Junzek responded to fan inquiries about why the color palette was named Bonobo in the first place, stating that the title was the name of the developer tool and that it was erroneously applied. Quote, We strive to create inclusive gaming communities. While the original name refers to an internal tool set, it was not intended to be applied to this content, and we recognize the harm it may have caused, he wrote. The palette was incorrectly named, and we immediately renamed it via an update, end quote. Windows Central's reached out to 343 Industries to further comment on the matter, but we were told that the developers, quote, don't have anything additional to share at this time. Then updates start coming in. Update: founder and head of 343 Industries, Bonnie Ross, has apologized for the color palette's title on behalf of the studio. Quote, we are a studio and franchise that is committed to inclusivity where everyone is welcome and supported to be their true self, wrote Ross. On behalf of 343, I apologize for making a celebrated moment a hurtful moment, end quote. And then on top of that, this is me updating, Joseph Staten from 343 and Halo quote tweeted Bonnie and said, I'm sorry as well. Our mistake today was inexcusable and I'm ashamed we allowed it to happen. Russ, what the fuck?
I mean, very, very bad and very stupid. And I mean, nice that they apologized, but man, Halo Infinite, for whatever reason, cannot keep from stumbling over their own feet. And this was certainly one of the worst things they've done. I mean, I don't think it was intentional. I really don't. But man, y'all need to just take a breath and make sure you're doing this right, because that is very stupid and bad.
Stepping on every rake in their front yard. Yeah. Kotaku reported on this. Obviously, everybody could report it. Kotaku reported on this and had like a whole drill into the fact of like, yeah, this is an individual familiar with the development. I'm sorry, I'm reading Ian's report over, or I'm sorry, Ari notice over at Kotaku, and talking about the fact that, and I'll go back, as an individual familiar with the development of Halo who spoke to Kotaku under the condition of anonymity, confirmed that Bonobo is indeed an asset editing program at 343. Though it was commonly used during the development of Halo 5, the studio moved away from its use during the development of Halo Infinite, but it exists. It's popular among the staff, and it would be widely known by many employees at the studio. But then you go for a little bit, blah, 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 blah. For 7 months now, Halo Infinite has rolled out tons of cosmetic options on a weekly basis, including no shortage of color options. This happens to be the first time this specific screw-up has happened, which, come on. Come on, for a nameplate regarding Juneteenth? Really? So at best, it's an embarrassing fuck-up, and the studio's quality checks did not catch it before an update went live. At worst, someone, or many someones, cracked a racist joke somewhere in the development process, and the studio's quality checks did not catch it before the update went live. Either way, it's an institutional failure.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that.
Yeah, right? It's just like, goddamn. You know, like, to your point of like, on a grander scale of the story of Halo Infinite, of just like, when was the last time it was just a positive story about Halo Infinite? And not like nearly negative like this. Negative in a way of like, hey, we're this fucking racist term got attached to a fucking holiday and all these other horrible things. Just in general, it's like, where's the content? Where's the thing? Where's the thing?
Yeah. But like, I'm still playing Halo Infinite. I'm actually a genuine fan of the gameplay of Halo Infinite. I think they did a very good job. But man, as a game was that was delayed for a year and then came out and was good, and then more or less like went into hibernation, they are definitely working on a back foot, and they have not righted the ship, and this certainly doesn't help that quest.
As a fan, do you think Halo Infinite is ever able to achieve the heights people wanted it to achieve?
I mean, if we're talking about the people of like hardcore Halo fans, I don't know that they would ever be fully happy.
Sure.
I think it needs to go through a revision in the way that like Diablo 3 went through a revision to, what was it, 2 or 3 years after launch, where they basically like fixed everything that people took issue with.
Yeah, that was like the
Reaper's game that could survive.
Yeah.
But that's what it needs. It needs like almost a reboot of a launch. And they could do that. Like if they launch it alongside like campaign expansion, whatever, and they like fix all the issues with the multiplayer and
it still doesn't have co-op, right? You still can't play the campaign co-op?
Yeah, no, they've said it's coming, I think, July or August for beta.
That's such
and then,
a backbreaker.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it goes to show you, what was this game like before they delayed it for a year? Like, yeah. I know the reaction to that initial trailer was really bad, and that's why they pointed to it, but, like, was that reaction not bad? Like, does the game just come out a year early? It's baffling to me. I'm really curious to know the whole backstory of this game.
Yeah, I as well. Yeah, to see what happened, why I got so far off track, and you know, how I mean, will they ever get it back on track and everything else to it? But yeah, it's I know how much people looked forward to it, and I know how positive the response was when it dropped, but it just feels like it's been bad news after bad news after bad news for it now. And you do look at it as a, you know, Halo Infinite in the lead up to it. I remember listening to the XCast, and Paris and Mike and Gary were all very clear that, you know, like, this had to deliver for Xbox. Like, you know, Halo is a franchise that used to be like, I remember when a new Halo came out and like the world stopped. Like, mm-hmm. I remember that being at IGN even, like, for the editorial staff. And the fact that now, you know, one of Microsoft's most storied franchises in gaming, right, is something that's like, oh, okay, there's another Halo game and people don't expect greatness from it. That's not awesome. That's not what you want out of something like that.
What I would say is you look at Destiny. Destiny took a year, a full year, to get effectively good. Like, it had some good moments and stuff like that in its first launch, but it wasn't really until... Actually, Taken King might have been 2 years. I forget how long it took for Taken King to come out, but it took a while. So it is not out of the question. It's really just a question of, like, is the whole back end and the whole engine, like, holding this entire project back? It's possible, and that's why they're not able to add all the content and stuff like that. They certainly have the funding to pull it off. I know Microsoft is very, you know, it thinks it's very important to make sure Halo is a success and a successful franchise. But in terms of the staffing and whether they can, like, technologically do it, totally have no idea.
Yeah, I think you make a great point that, you know, Microsoft's not going to let this one go. Like, they, I mean, there's a Halo TV show, right? There's all these, Halo is this property that expands to so many different mediums.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the Halo TV show is evidence of Microsoft's quality control, but...
Control, no, but importance in terms of a multi-pronged IP and where you can put it, right? Even for, like, Flight Simulator to have the Pelican added to it is a big deal during the conference, right? Like, they know that Halo matters, and so they can't be like, well, Halo Infinite sucks, and it's going to suck, and we're going to walk away. It, you know, I saw people shouting it out. It reminds me, in terms of a Microsoft way, of Sea of Thieves as well, right? Where Sea of Thieves comes out and isn't well-received at the time because the people think it's kind of content bear, but rather than abandon it, they sit there and they double down, and now, you know, Sea of Thieves is a great game to go play and have fun and see what's up. So you hope they'll do that with Halo Infinite, and I imagine they would, but... You also just have to sit there and be like, man, like, it's not a good narrative for 343 either, right? Of taking over the Halo franchise and never really nailing it.
Yeah, 4, 5, and now Infinite have all been marred in some way, big or small. And it just has not clicked since Bungie left.
Yeah. We will wait and see how Halo Infinite turns around. And then obviously for the Juneteenth stuff today, like, their comments are out. It'll be interesting to see if they have yet another statement or a blog post about it, or if they just sit there and continue to take it on the chin and let it go that way. But we'll see if there's any more ever about it. Number three on the Roper Report, PlayStation might be getting its first elite controller. This is Tom Henderson at Tryhard Guides. Sony's working on, quote, a genuine professional controller for the PlayStation 5, and the company will reveal new hardware in the coming weeks, sources have claimed. It's believed the code name of the controller is Hunt, which will have several interesting features, including removable analog sticks, trigger stops, and rear buttons. Flappy paddles, in parentheses, which I appreciate. These claims of such hardware came alongside pictures of the alleged prototype, which has been sent under the condition that the pictures are not published and the source remains anonymous. Pictures of the controller keep the classic PlayStation 5 style, but show a few key differences. One of the biggest changes is buttons under the left analog sticks, which allows you to completely remove the analog sticks and their components, which Sony refers to as removable stick units. This presumably means you'll just be able to be a stick unit rather than a new controller if it develops stick drift. Ah, okay. I think there's a typo in there, but whatever. Where your analog stick drifts one way or the other. Another feature includes the trigger stops at the back of the controller. In addition to flappy paddles / buttons that have become increasingly popular over the years, with players turning to companies such as Scuf Gaming and Nancon for such controllers. The prototype also features grips to help hold the controller, which also seem to be removable. I read a bunch of different things, and nobody was like, oh, they're just copying the Microsoft Elite controller or the Xbox Elite controller, which they should. Snowbike Mice bought like 900 of them, keeps breaking them somehow, and buys more of them. Russ, would you be down for a PlayStation Elite controller?
Well, first of all, I want to say I'd never want to hear the words flappy paddles again. It just does not sit right in my brain. I use the PlayStation 4, I don't remember what, back button attachment, whatever.
Plug it into the bottom.
And it was great. It's exactly what I need. I do not need to, you know, have super precision analog sticks or whatever, change the height of the whatever buttons. I just want back buttons so I can, like, keep my thumbs on the analog sticks and hit a button at the same time. So my bar is very low. I do think this makes total sense. You know, there's a total audience for it. People play a lot of shooters and various other games that would be benefited by having things like back buttons. So I wouldn't be shocked. The thing to keep in mind, and this is something that Microsoft's been dealing with, the Xbox Elite controllers, the newest ones, have pretty serious durability issues, as do the PlayStation 5 DualSense controllers. Both of them are, like, very expensive and also like kind of break. It's nice that you can replace some of the components here, but that is something worth considering. Like, can Sony figure out the durability issues of these controllers before they start charging $150 or whatever it is going to be for an Elite controller? Certainly a chief concern.
Yeah, Pixelated Soul in the chat says, how can you break them? The most durable controllers ever made. I've heard it the opposite, where it's, yeah, Mike isn't like smashing his controllers. He's just using his Xbox Elite controllers and something's breaking with them.
I believe he's broken three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they develop drift, or the paddles stop working, or there's all sorts of issues with them. The baseline Xbox controllers are great. They're tanks. You can throw them out a window and they're fine. For whatever reason, I think all the components going on in the Elite have major issues. And honestly, the DualSense, same thing.
Yeah, the DualSense drifts too. There has been plenty of reports of that. Yeah. Yeah. So this isn't, like you said, Russ, this isn't something limited to just Xbox or Nintendo Joy-Cons, which I know comes up all the time.
You know what has great back buttons?
What's that?
Steam Deck.
I hate you. I hate you with a passion. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. I finally got the whole Steam Deck. Hold the Steam Deck at LAX, right when I was leaving. Blessing let me play Ghostbusters on the Sega.
Oh, Masters. That's so generous of him.
He's a generous god. And I'll tell you, I love that thing. It's so heavy. I'm like, this thing is heavy at all. What are you talking about? This is great.
I play a Switch with those hoary giant split pad controllers. Yeah. So I am like very used to the scale of it.
You have beefy.
So it really
wrists.
Wasn't. So, yeah, but it is heavier. It definitely is.
Yeah, but it's not like when people say that, I thought it was going to be like oh, God, like a Game Gear. Like, that would be like super heavy like that.
Wasn't. No, I've been picking up a 15-pound baby for the last year. It's fine.
Yeah, me too. So that's probably part of it right there. So, yeah, so you're in. You're going to get a PlayStation Elite control or the Hunt?
No, probably not. Okay. I mean, it's just not.
It'll have your back paddles. It'll have the flappy paddles.
Yeah, I mean, that thing was $15 and just plugged into a controller I already owned.
Yeah, well, so that's those days.
I just want them to release that.
It's not gonna happen. You got to do it.
I know.
You got to go. Yeah, this is definitely one of those of like, awesome. If that's what you're looking for and stuff like that. I know Andy loves it. I know Mike loves it. But like, you know, I've gotten when Xbox did the Elite controllers twice, right? Like, they sent them to all of us, and I was like, this is rad. And I just gave it to Tim. I'm like, I do not have a use case for this. I'm very basic. When I'm playing my narrative game about a coming of age story where I make dialogue choices, I'm not like, man, I need the flappy paddles in the back for this one. So
it's helpful. I mean, if I play Halo, as I said, and it would be helpful to be able to jump and shoot and aim at the same time, but
I've
learned to accept it.
Exactly. I'm too old. I've learned how to play bumper jumper. I'm not switching it off now. Ladies and gentlemen, you can help us from keeping the mics from switching off by going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do. You can watch us record PS I Love You XOXO live this afternoon before Final Fantasy. And of course, like I said, ad-free. But you're not watching on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. I've been using AG1 the last few months because I figured it was well past time I start thinking about vitamins, but I'm usually not the biggest fan of their format. So being able to drink a flavored water is much more up my alley. And I'm a huge fan here of the fact that it doesn't taste super healthy. It kind of has like this mild tropical taste to it that I look forward to every morning. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, foods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved only for big businesses to everyone. So upstarts, startups, established businesses, content creators alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed. From down the street to across the globe. Our content creator friends use Shopify to manage all their merch sales and stuff. And I recently got Gia a pair of Allbirds from the Allbirds website, which also uses Shopify. So that's an example of big websites using Shopify for their sales. You can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting on conversion rates, profit margins, and to help you supercharge your knowledge of your sales and your success. You can go to shopify.com/KFGames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial, and you can get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/KFGames right now. That's shopify.com/KFGames for a free 14-day trial. shopify.com/KFGames.
And we're back, Russ. We're back. Number four, we'll turn our eyes to Twitter in Japan. Keep your eyes on the Switch is what I call this one. Over on Twitter, Nibel tweeted a Famitsu report. Reads like this. Famitsu reports today that the Nintendo Switch has surpassed 25 million sold units in Japan. Best-selling games are Animal Crossing New Horizons with 7.26 million. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate with 4.89 million. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, 4.66 million. Sword and Shield, that's Pokemon, 4.34 million. And Splatoon 2 with 4.08 million. I saw this I followed Nibel, of course. But then Daniel Ahmad, video game analyst, quote tweeted it and said, for reference, the Switch surpassed the 3DS in Japan last month and is now the third best-selling console in Japan, on track to reach the highs of Game Boy, 32.4 million, and DS, 32.9 million. Russ, can you believe this?
I mean, I can, just because I've been watching the meteoric rise of the Switch. I can't believe, like, the Nintendo arc is totally unbelievable. The idea that they've gone through so many iterations of like total disaster and then total enormous success and back again.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, the most shocking part of this. Like, after the Wii U, I think everyone more or less was like, okay, they're done.
They're going to do one more and then they'll be third party. That was what I remember we said all the time at IGN, where it's like, all right, fine. They screwed this up and now they're there. But this Switch, man, what an idea. Thank God they kept handheld gaming alive, but what a way to double down on it. Like, I'm excited because as somebody who loves having a handheld device, which would be why it'd be great to get a Steam Deck if I could buy one. It's pretty rad to see it doing this.
Yeah, the stats about almost beating the Game Boy is nuts in the DS. But honestly, like, they're going to be selling Switches for the next 4 years at least. Even if they announce like a replacement or an upgrade or whatever it is, they're not going to stop selling Switches because they'll sell them for like $150 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And
it's also that thing of like, you know, they're going to cheat. They're going to put out another revision of the Switch, right? Switch Pro or whatever. And then it'll be that we all buy that again. But then that goes into the Switch numbers themselves.
Yeah. They've always been very smart about just like eking out every little tiny inch of sales out of their hardware.
Yeah, 100%, and that's not going to stop anytime soon. Of course, if you go to Wikipedia and look at the best-selling consoles there, right now the Switch is behind PlayStation 4, then Game Boy and Game Boy Color listed as one, Nintendo, DS, and PlayStation 2 at the top with a 155 million units sold. Do you think it has a hope of being the number one selling video game console, Russ?
You said it's number two. Where does it fall now?
Right now it's number, according to Wikipedia, right, number five.
Number five.
Number one is PlayStation 2 with 155 million. DS with 154.02 million. Game Boy and Game Boy Color at 118.69 million. PlayStation 4 with 117.2 million. And then Nintendo Switch with 107.65 million.
I think, I don't know about number one, but it'll definitely get close. I mean, you look at the numbers, it's almost surpassing the DS and Game Boy in Japan.
Yeah.
And again, they're just going to keep selling them and they're going to sell them for very little. It's going to get up there, probably top three or top two.
Sure. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where it nets out. But yeah, it's definitely going to catch up here momentarily to PlayStation 4. And then if you topple PlayStation 4, Game Boy's a million units and change ahead of that. So I think you'll get past that.
Maybe they'll figure out how to do online play.
I doubt it. I mean, nobody wants that apparently from them, right? Like, it's
no,
just
you're
like,
right. I mean, you're
the
right.
The Nintendo fan base and the people who buy Switch, and I've bought many a Switch now. Like, that's not what I expect from Nintendo. And like, it's ridiculous because I remember, you know, when it was 360 and PS3 duking it out and trying to figure this out and being like, man, Nintendo's got to fix their shit. Nintendo's got to figure this out. And they've just always been like, no, we're not going to. Don't come here for that.
You know, I will say this in terms of you being a fan of consoles. I had an interview with Shigeru Miyamoto many years ago. This is probably 7 or 8 years, maybe for the Wii U, I think it was. And part of that interview, I asked him whether they'd ever consider adding achievements to the Switch.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's like a total net gain, but they're very counter to them. At least they were back then. I don't know if that's changed since, but yeah, he felt like he didn't want to like derail people's gameplay experience by like counting trophies. But for me, and I'm sure for you, view it as like this is a library of things I've done in the past.
Sure.
It's like a nice little trip down memory lane.
Yeah. Well, see, I go the opposite where I just want to see that number increase for no reason and I buy.
Oh, really? That's your, jam?
Russ, I'm a trophy whore. I'm terrible. I
didn't know that. I just, I thought you maybe wanted to look back fondly at, I don't know, playing Naruto 2.
I do. I'll go there and I'll sort by platinum, but then I have to go through like 13 versions of Strawberry Fields or whatever the hell it was called, where I platinum the Japanese version, the English version, and then the European version to get, you know what I mean, to stack the trophies or whatever. Like, I have a problem and I'm trying to be better about it. ZJ the ball broke me. It's a whole thing. But they're like, I get them not doing it, honestly, because I think it is like so many people would want that, but this, it does change the way people consume their games. And Nintendo is so much about like, the game is meant to be fun. You are meant to have enjoyment. You are meant to go. And I think, you know, you look at something like Smash with the spirits where, you know, like Tim, who was just here, is obsessed with Smash. Every time they would update new stuff, you would go in there and get all the spirits. You would get all the things. Even the way he plays Mario Kart, right, where to sit there and grind over and over and over again. I mean, years after Mario Kart was out, I'd look, we weren't playing it even in the office anymore. I'd look over and Tim's, you know, doing 200cc and just trying to beat his own times and do all these different things. In a way, I'm like, man, I remember being a kid and playing a game that way. I remember when, you know, I'd have a, you know, you didn't have disposable income or whatever. So you'd play a game and over again, how fast can I go through it? But I do feel like when
you have that experience with achievements, it's a game design choice, right? Sure. Like good, there are good achievements and bad achievements, or good trophies and bad trophies. And, you know, I think just Nintendo doesn't want to be careful about what they allow and don't allow. So they just don't. But I think they add a lot of gameplay value to games just because they encourage different play styles and make you explore the games in interesting ways. I think Sony has done very well for their first party stuff with trophies, and I would love to see Nintendo follow suit, but I realize it's unlikely.
Well, I think they can do it by adding the in-game stuff, though, right? For what you're doing and how you do it there. It's just
I want it to manifest within. Yeah, yeah. The
you
want to
see it from you. You don't want to open up the Mario game to see what you did. You want it on top level here. Your badges and your things that you've got.
Right. I even look at like hours played is like the closest comparison to that on Switch, and I look at that and I have 600 hours played of Binding of Isaac on Switch, and like that's cool. I mean, I remember, you know, but it'd be nice if there was like a little, I don't know, fucking mushroom, golden mushroom or something.
I hear you, and I understand it. It's just, yeah, it's so counterintuitive to how Nintendo tries to do their things nowadays.
Yeah.
And until there's a huge shakeup, which at this point will be, what, decades away? That was always the thing with the Wii U. Well, this will make them change everything, and it kind of did, but not like their policies, just like how they want to make the game, the console and hardware work. But
yeah,
we'll see. Speaking of changing things about your console hardware or programs, we're gonna go to number 5 on the Roper Report. The Xbox app on PC is now adding a performance indicator, which I thought was cool. So I'm gonna read 2 paragraphs from Xbox about it. I have been in that spot where you download a game, you have your heart set on playing it, only to find out that your PC doesn't actually meet the requirements to play the game super well. You wish you knew that before you downloaded the game and got your hopes up. The good news is the team has created a new feature that is beginning to roll out that helps you see how well a game runs on your PC before you download it. Click on the details of a game to get additional info. Now the app compares the game's performance on PCs with similar specs to yours to show a prediction of how well we expect the game to run. If your PC isn't up to the task of running a graphically demanding game, you'll be able to view the game's system requirements to get more details on what you need to run the game. As we continue to learn about the performance of a game on similar PCs, you may not see a performance check for every game, especially recently added games, until we have enough information to share the recommendation. Keep checking back. Now, Russ, you have a Steam Deck, but you strike me as you're a PC guy in general, right? You played a lot of PC.
I'm actually not really. I actually prefer to play games on consoles, which is part of the reason I was so excited for Steam Deck, just because I like removing the cruft of PC gaming, which I hate, as I'm sure you do, of like, oh, the drivers aren't updated, oh, the fucking whatever. And the nice thing about the Steam Deck is that it's locked hardware. Everyone has the same thing, and they have the system where it's like, what is it, verified on Steam, and you so you know, oh, this game can actually run on your Steam Deck. So it sounds like that's what they're trying to do here. Obviously, with PCs, the specs are all over the place, so you have to do it case by case. But it's a nice feature. Certainly good to have.
Yeah, it's one of those. I'm right there with you. PC gaming was dumb until the Steam Deck came around. And so it's great that it's here. And this is a nice feature, but I do wonder, like, I feel like most PC gamers are there because they like, you know, min-max in their graphics card or whatever. And so, like, I wonder how many people actually use it like this.
I think there are people that will sign up for Game Pass specifically that won't necessarily know if their game can run, I don't know, Halo Infinite or whatever it is, because they're running on an older PC, because they do have a slightly more casual audience doing Game Pass stuff.
100%, yeah.
So that's, I think, the logic behind it.
Of course.
I'm sure some people will use it, but then again, it's Microsoft, so I'm sure it's buried beneath 9 menus. So.
It looks pretty good. On Xbox Wire, they had an image of it. It is right there. It looks like on the main page. But, like, again, like, it's a feature that you have to get called out. But you feel like, or I figure, I'm right there with you, that this is meant for, hey, you bought the Samsung TV, and you got the Xbox app included with that, so now you're already using Game Pass, so why wouldn't you want to try it on your PC? And now here's a glance to see if it would do that.
Yeah.
And now the whole time they're just buy an Xbox, please. But we'll see what happens with that. While we were going, I added one that I forgot about. Number 6 on the Roper Report. This is a Corey Barlog tweet from yesterday, Kevin, if you want to pull it up. Corey Barlog, of course, you know, from Sony Santa Monica, director on 2018 God of War, now creative director, tweeted, Steam Deck arrived, ... but probably won't get to play it for a while because I'm currently playing this other thing, ... And then it's a photo of him holding the DualSense, which doesn't appear to be on because he's just faking it as he always does. And then he's got his Steam Deck in the background. You assume getting ready to play God of War Ragnarok. Russ, the million-dollar question, are we getting Ragnarok in 2022? Do you believe Bruno, or is it going to get delayed?
Woof. I think, yeah, God, it's such a coin flip at this point. I think it's going to come out.
I do too.
I think, ignoring the fact that, like, they have no other real, like, major game releases, you know, it certainly hasn't stopped Xbox from pushing stuff out of their holiday season. I think it's going to come out. I think that team is pretty confident in it. And I don't know. It feels like first-party Sony stuff these days feels a little but more buttoned up to some extent, where they can kind of predict and see how things are trending. Then again, Last of Us Part 2 got delayed a good chunk. So what was it, a month or two? Or I forget how long that delay was. But I think it will come out. I think people will play it. I'm very excited. I love the first one. I think it'll be sick.
Agreed. I still believe in Bruno. I believe it'll come out this year. I think that they've lined it up to be that way, but it'll be interesting to see, because now you figure with Last of Us Remake happening in September, right? You push past that to November, maybe?
You're looking at probably late October, November. You know, what I don't want to have happen is another, what was it, March of this year or February when
where everything hit.
Came out at the same, like, that's a drag. Dying Light, Elden Ring, Horizon, and like two other games that I really wanted to play all came out within 2 weeks. And now we're obviously in a much slower period. You know, spread the wealth. And it's so weird to see that happen outside of the holiday season where we're used to it. Now it's just all these games that got delayed to spring instead. Very weird.
We will wait and see. Oh, fuck, Russ, I forgot to prep you for this. I'm gonna do a really bad transition here in a second. And then can you read the highlighted section, the co-host says part?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I'm excited to see if God of War or Ragnarok comes out this year, but Russ is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Hot Wheels Unleashed Jurassic World Racing Season is now available to set you up with some new vicious wheels from the days when dinosaurs ruled the earth. All right. Limited time Awakening Collection event is now happening in Apex Legends. The Demio adventure Curse of the Serpent Lord is out now on Meta, Steam VR, and Steam PC. PUBG Nations Cup 2022 and PUBG Battlegrounds 18.1 update kicks off today. This week in GTA Online, the black market is brimming with opportunities for executives to earn extra GTA money and RP with boosts in import/export and special cargo sell missions. In addition, the players can now claim a free armored Karen Kuruma along with the GTA $1 million rebate for those who complete all 6 a Super Yacht Life missions and purchase the Galaxy Super Yacht. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're right on top of that, Kevin. We'll be buying our yachts left and right. Kevin, where do we fall? Are we still? Are we getting into Monster Hunter Rise?
I just downloaded it right now, so I have it.
My main. All right, cool. Russ, do you ever play
Monster Hunter? I want to say that real quick. Something that's killing me about Monster Hunter Rise is this was the first Monster Hunter game I ever got into on Switch. I really wanted to play it. I played a ton of it. I want to play it on Steam Deck now. Save doesn't transfer over. I do not want to spend 30 hours getting to the Sunbreak content, and it kills me.
I hear you. I understand that. Yeah. Just be like me and Kevin and accept you'll never get a Steam Deck and just play it on Switch. It'll be fun.
But I have.
Now you can play with us, Russ, on Switch. How about that?
But how much fun that could be.
Power level us, and then we're all ready to play. We get in 30 hours, we'll be ready to play Sunbreak with you. You know what I mean? It'll be great.
Easy.
Mother Gunship Forge is launching today on Quest 2 Steam VR. Rise of the Kingdoms releases Egypt Must Rise update for PC, iOS, and Android. Autonauts launches on consoles today. King Leo is on all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes, and Switch. Overlord Escape from Nazarick is on PC and Switch. Redout 2 is on everything. Neon White, PC and Switch is out today. Kevin, Roger put up a TikTok review. If you want to throw that up there right there. This is Roger right there. What did he give it? Hit it. Neon White, 4 out of 5, great. This is one you got to go see. All right, if you want to go to tiktok.com/@kindoffunnygames, you can catch Roger's full review of Neon White. Zora, The Chronicles is on everything. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge is on everything. Horaguhu and Friends is on Switch. Cloud Gardens is on Xbox, Switch, and PC. Skeleton Crew is on PC. Starship Troopers, Terran Command is on PC. New dates for you. GameSpot reports the RPG Octopath Traveler is getting a prequel on mobile this summer. Octopath Traveler Champions of the Continent is coming to mobile devices on July 27, featuring a similar HD 2D art style and a wide array of characters. This is interesting. I really liked Octopath Traveler. I don't feel like I'm prepared to jump into a mobile version of it, but this is interesting.
I love the art style.
Yeah. Yeah, did you? Oh, yeah, you said you weren't a JRPG guy, right?
I tried it. It just makes me sleepy. All these games make me sleepy.
It's a rare JRPG that can get me to play and, yes, not fall asleep playing. Arena is coming to Google Play on June 30th. Disco Elysium, the Final Cut PC version, is going to be available in Japanese starting on August 25th. Loopmaster is coming to Steam and Epic Game Store on July 13th. ID at Xbox has something coming up. It's summertime, and we've got another scorching hot lineup of game demos just for you. This will be our third ID at Xbox Summer Game Fest demo event as part of Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest promotion. Starting June 21st and running through June 27th, you'll be able to play over 30 demos of upcoming unreleased games for Xbox Series X/S on the Xbox One. Then, if that wasn't enough for you, the game I know you've all been dying to play more of, Destruction All-Stars, announces on June 22nd, we'll be releasing a host of new content for Destruction All-Stars to coincide with Europe's launch of the new PlayStation Plus service in the same week. We kick off with a new event called Rise, which includes a brand new game mode, new challenges, and a new exciting All-Star Pass. We can't wait for the community to get their hands on all this new stuff and join us in welcoming new players to the game. Then, deals of the day for you. You got a new Epic Game Store freebie. Of course, use the creator code KINDOFFUNNY. Superland is available to June 23rd. Then, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or later anywhere, maybe you're listening on a podcast service or watching on YouTube, and you probably have Amazon Prime at home, remember, you get a free gaming sub with Gaming Prime. So you log in and you log into your Amazon and then you say Gaming Prime and then you link them and then you go to Kinda Funny Games and you give us the free subscription and it goes every 30 days and they don't want you to do it. They make it so it doesn't auto renew. Screw Amazon, come get it. But more importantly, Amazon Prime Day is coming. Prime Gaming is thrilled to offer members even more free games as part of this year's Prime Day offers. During Prime Day, Prime members can claim more than 30 free games from Prime Gaming, including Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which includes the award-winning Mass Effect Trilogy, Grid Legends, Need for Speed Heat, and Star Wars Jedi Academy, and more. Leading up to Prime Day, from June 21st through July 13th, Prime members can start freeloading more than 25 indie games instantly, featuring past favorites and first-time releases on Prime Gaming from Curve Games, Handy Games, SNK, and more, including Death Squared, a game we love here, Fatal Fury Special, Gianna Sisters, Twisted Dreams, Gone Viral, and a whole bunch more. There's a million indie games coming. Check it out. Then, if you want more Xbox is more your taste, we have the Xbox free play days for this weekend. Explore ancient Egypt and battle zombies or reunite with fishy friends during free play days. Assassin's Creed Origins, yeah. Dead Island Definitive Edition, yeah. And I Am Fish, are available this weekend for Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members starting right now. You can go do it all the way through Sunday at midnight.
Wow.
Oh, wait a second, everybody. I have breaking news from the chat. Andy Cortez the number two or three, depending on how you look at the KFW results, games journalist is saying, I have Overwatch 2 news. Andy, come in the chat. What are you come into the show? Andy, come on. What are you doing? What's the Overwatch 2 news? Come on, Andy. Join the live stream.
You want to make a time code for this? Or
I don't know. It could be an Andy joke. It could make a time code. Breaking Andy Cortez news.
Andy wouldn't make a joke about this. It's too serious.
All right, Andy. It's
always serious business with me. So,
have you ever met Russ before? Russ, this is Andy. Andy,
hey, Russ.
We've met on the internet.
We've met on the internet. Big fan, Russ. Love the show.
Thank you. Big fan of you as well.
Everybody listen to the besties. Big Overwatch 2 news. No loot boxes, everybody. No loot boxes for Overwatch 2. Battle Pass time. It's a free-to-play game. There's also Mythic skins, which is a step above Legendary. Greg, you believe this? Mythic skins?
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
They look even cooler now, cooler than the other ones, and you can customize them now. There's going to be all sorts of cool things you can do. There's a new hero, Junker Queen. And aside from that, kind of a disappointing thing, Tamar Hussein from GameSpot was like, Andy, you should record your reactions to this. You're not going to want to miss it. And it was just a lot of the other same stuff that they talked about.
Tricks you. I don't understand how, like,
he's an old joker, and I'm tired of it.
I know.
He's
he was like, hey, Bless, jump in this thing. And he had him
in
do
Dark
like for 45
Souls, yeah,
minutes.
Blessing, yeah. It's a whole thing.
Anyway. Bless is pretty easy to trick, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Have a good show, guys.
Thank you very much. Russ? It's been fun doing the show with you.
It has been fun. I want to just call out one thing that you kind of breeze past. There is a Zorro game coming out.
Yeah, it looks really kiddie. You know what I mean? Like, Thursdays are usually where the Switch gets a giant update of games that are kind of shovelwary. And yeah,
I'm just saying, like, Zorro, it never in a million years would I think a Zorro game would happen. And here we are. So I want to, like, celebrate this day. I can't speak to the quality of the game. I'm sure it might be terrible. But there's a Zorro game, y'all.
Kevin, if you can toss out Zorro : The Chronicles, get me a trailer on that. I'm seeing one over here that there's the one, the Zorro The Chronicles.
Oh, this could go so many ways. Antonio might be involved. We don't know.
No, he's not for sure. I'm clicking on the Screen Rant review. Over at Screen Rant 10 hours ago, Rob Gordon wrote, Zorro Chronicles review, a basic action adventure. Zorro The Chronicles takes some inspiration from big action games to create a humorous first step for players, but it's too basic to be enjoyable.
Well, you've only got the one weapon, so.
Oh, they gave it 2 out of 5.
Ooh. Yeah.
You only got the one weapon.
Oh, here we go. Oh, cute art style. I'm kind of into the art style.
You're a Zorro nut. You're Zorro's number one fan.
I guess so. I didn't realize I was, but here we are. Your goal will be to free it kind of looks like Sea of Thieves a little bit.
Honestly, okay, Greg,
you're being generous.
If you get a code for this for Cool Greg, I think you'd get a lot of points. He loves Zoro.
He loves Zoro? Cool Greg loves Zoro?
Loves Zoro. Like,
but here's the thing. Look at the gameplay right now. Does this strike you as a Cool Greg game?
He will learn new gameplay, like, styles for the right games.
Okay.
Like, this right here, I'm sure he's all about it.
Whoa, like Batman combat.
Yeah.
That's a straight up.
Are we all about to play Zorro, guys? Are we doing Zorro the Chronicles? you put the Z on their butt?
Of course.
Think about, like, the precision you needed to just cut the pants to put a Z in there and not cut the
I like to think he gets a little flesh in there and he doesn't feel
well. I mean,
if
he does, he wants to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Kevin, what platform should I get Cool Greg a code for Zorro?
What is it on?
Everything.
I think it's get him an Xbox code. I think that's the easiest thing.
Okay, we can do that. We can do that. Ladies and gentlemen. This has been another episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com/kindoffunnygames. I didn't know the slash. Podcast servers around the globe, and of course, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Over on Twitch, we ask people who are watching live to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up so we can set the record straight for everybody on the platforms I just did. Not really wrong there. Borzen 00 says the Taken King was a year-ish after the launch of Destiny. Okay.
So I feel like we're right on that one. Seems like, you know?
Yeah. I think sometimes they're just confirming stuff. You know what I mean?
Affirming it, yes.
Yeah, okay. And then somebody who wrote in saying they are Steam, which you think would be a burn on me, is doing the thing Blessing never did, which is tell me what the Steam address was, but somebody had already given me that too. While we're here, we'll do it live, all right? Because I don't know I know today's one of the days they're supposed to send out the, hey, we're going to send you the Steam Deck.
Have you looked at the Steam, on the Steam Deck subreddit, you can actually track when to expect yours based on the orders that have already been pushed through. Have you looked at this?
No, no, I haven't seen this at all. Is it just r/Steam Deck?
Yeah, something like that. And there's a thread. I can try to drop it in chat, but you basically, like, it's complicated. You have to enter in like this weird code you get from your pre-order thing. But it actually spit out and was pretty accurate to mine within a couple days.
Order email mega thread. Is that what I'd be looking at here?
It would be called.
Oh, here, yeah. Help us estimate more accurate dates.
Yeah, it's called the DeckBot. Let's see.
If you'd like to see a rough estimate of your expected order date, try the calculator here. And I click on the thing. Steam Deck calculator.
It just gives you the finger.
I don't want. Well, that's my thing. Is I don't want. I'm not going to plug in my information here and, you know, get it.
No, you shouldn't. But yeah, worth looking into if you're really. I mean, you're right. We're coming to the end of June, so
you send me your version because they have a different one. This isn't DeckBot. What I'm looking at here. What I'm looking at is the calculator, expected order date calculator, created by Moo, contributed to the GitHub. This sounds like one of those things I'm going to enter. And then
I'll put it in general chat, and you could take a look at that. I'm worried for your security.
Thank you. Well, did you use this?
Yes, I actually used it.
You used DeckBot, and everything worked out for you.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Okay, hold on.
It gave me a pretty accurate representation of when to expect my Steam Deck.
Okay. Interesting. Maybe we do this on the post show. We'll do this on the post show. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? This is an episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. It's done. Up next, Nick and Andy are going to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. So you should hang out and watch that. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching or listening later, of course, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays to see that stream archived for your viewing pleasure. Remember, again, if you're listening later or watching later, Final Fantasy VII reacts are happening this afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific. We'll be live reacting on Twitch. That'll go up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Or no, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We'll have a good time seeing what happens there. Maybe we get Crisis Core. Maybe Zac Efron shows up in the game like Tim was talking about and everybody has a great time. But I digress. Russ, you've been fantastic today. Where can people keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Russ Frushtick, polygon.com, and the Besties podcast, wherein we talk about the latest and greatest in video games. It's a video game club that goes all year long, whatever that means.
And of course, you have a brand new book out, The Book of Fun. You can go buy your copy right now, ladies and gentlemen.
For the people watching on video, I'll hold it up, but yes.
Kindoffunny.com/Russ. No, hold it up. Show it off.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, there it is. See? There it is.
It's got pictures and everything. I don't even know what page this went to, but look at those pictures. Gorgeous art by Sonny Ross.
Fantastic. Kindoffunny.com/Russ to get your own copy of The Book of Fun. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to see the post show we're about to do. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.